第二十七首，二十七首。
成山千岗浪，进入我心。外婆的声声，充满我
天父，在今天圣家节庆日，我们皆同圣母和圣若瑟在主耶稣内一起赞美你，感谢你。在你永恒的计划中，你为耶稣降生成人，拣选了至圣和贞玛利亚做他的母亲，义人若瑟做他的养父。在这个物质贫穷的圣家里面，你让耶稣在两位最伟大的圣人的爱之中度过他幸福的童年和隐居的生活。圣家是世上所有家庭的模范和主保，虽然他们亦都免不了要面对贫穷、迫害、流亡的考验，但是他们甘心忍受生活的忧虑和痛苦，勇敢面对生活的困难和挑战。昔日约瑟和玛利亚带着婴孩耶稣逃亡埃及，成为无家可归的难民。在这个彷徨痛苦的日子之中，圣母和圣若瑟虽然失去所有，但他们仍然拥有一切，因为有耶稣在他们中间。他们以神圣的情怀相爱，关心的不是自己的利益， 而是耶稣的幸福和安全。他们时时以感恩的心祈祷，为被选为永生之子的监护人而赞美天主。虽然因此给他们身心带来困难，但是他们以热爱保护和扶持耶稣为喜乐，在简朴平凡的生活中光荣天主，全心信赖天父你的爱和照顾，永生的天父，自创世之初，你做了一男一女，制定了婚姻，祝福他们生育繁殖。家庭制度是你所祝圣的，但现今的社会却打破了这个最神圣的制度，离婚、堕胎、同性恋等等的罪行，使无数的家庭破碎，摧毁生命，纵情私欲使人堕落痛苦。天父啊，求你垂怜所有不幸的家庭，赐给他们恩宠，使他们重新在你那里找到爱、平安和力量。圣母妈妈在麦主歌耶显现很多次提及关于家庭，她说：亲爱的孩子们，让你们的家庭成为诞生圣洁的地方，请帮助每一个人，特别是你的家人，生活在圣洁之中。这是一个赐给家庭恩宠的时期，为此我呼唤你们要更新祈祷，让耶稣留在你一家人的心中，让每一个家庭在这欠缺祈祷与和平的世界里成为爱情的见证。小孩子们，在这恩宠之日，今天请打开心灵，决心追随天主，把它放在你家庭的第一位。主耶稣，我们乐意打开家门，欢迎你来到我们的家中，作我们的家主，理我们的家务。圣家的谦逊和谐，以信赖的心去接受生活的考验，正是生活在这个痛苦世代的家庭的榜样。现在我们将所有的家庭托付给耶稣、玛利亚、约瑟，祈求圣家时时保护引导家庭各成员在属灵、伦理和物质各方面都生活天主的圣意，对天父所赐的一切以感恩的心去接受，以尊敬的心去使用。祈求圣家祝福每一个家庭，亦都祝福我们堂区这一个大家庭。阿们。歌书第二首，第二首。
请大家赞美上主，因为他是美善的。请大家赞美上主，阿利路亚。 ันไว้ทาสีเมสิงเกชิงกายกาจันเมสัมจุอาลิลูยา
ชีเอโซ今晚我哋同圣母妈妈、你嘅义父圣若瑟一齐，与你欢度圣家节。喺世上，你同圣母及圣若瑟共度嘅圣家生活之中，彼此以谦逊、尊敬同埋真爱相待。你敬爱你嘅养父若瑟。他努力工作奉献一生，为给你赚来面包和生活上的需要。耶稣，在你成长的过程中，圣若瑟养育了你的身体，培育了你幼年的心智，教导你学会木匠的工作。他是降生圣言和天主圣神敬佩的保护人。耶稣，若瑟为了爱你和圣母，接纳一切，舍弃一切，忍受一切，全心为爱天主和他要承担的使命而努力。虽然他是一家之长，但是他永远都是怀着谦虚、勤劳、忠信、沉默的态度去侍奉你和他的正配玛利亚。你的义父是圣家的守护者，在纳匝力，你在他和圣母的爱之中度过无数温馨快乐的岁月。当他完成在世的使命之后，能够在你和圣母的拥抱之中庄严而安详地去世，实在是有福的。蒙受天恩配降的圣若瑟，你是家庭、劳工和善终的主保，请你时时在你的儿子耶稣面前为所有的家庭、劳动者、临终者代祷。主耶稣，你的母亲万福充满圣宠者，一生只以天主为她的挚爱，对天主的圣意全心信服说事，他谦虚服从，甘作主的婢女，而天主却举扬了他成为救主之母。这个荣衔使他成为第一个在你的救赎工程中同你合作的人，同时他的无玷圣心要被许多的痛苦、忧伤的利剑所刺透。在纳匝力，玛利亚被邀请做你的母亲。在纳匝力，他的正配、长兄、保护者若瑟离世的时候，使他留下了哀伤的眼泪。在纳匝力，圣母体验与你分离的痛苦。在加尔亚略山，更加要亲眼目睹爱子遭受酷刑，钉死在十字架上。但你至爱的母亲，一生即使面对最艰难的时刻，她仍然与天主契合。是的，上主， 愿照你的话成就于我吧。今晚圣母妈妈皆同你的正配圣若瑟，请在主耶稣至圣圣体前，为我们每一个人、每个家庭、我们的堂区祈求圣家的特别祝福。耶稣、玛利亚、若瑟，我心、我灵、我生命全献给你们。耶稣、玛利亚、若瑟，扶助我于临终之时。耶稣、玛利亚、若瑟，赐我将来能在你们当中平安地去世。阿们。歌书第四首，第四首。
菩萨慢慢齐来，在住内欢乐，一齐来欢乐地侍奉主基督。
主耶稣，2011年还有一日就要终结，我们满怀感恩的心跪在你面前回顾反思。耶稣，过去的一年我们领受了你很多的恩宠、爱的礼物、平安的祝福，为此我们衷心感谢。你在我们每个人身上都有你的计划，你期望我们以委顺的心去接受所交托的使命。我们都渴望效法圣若瑟和圣母，一切诚行主旨，以谦卑、温良、信靠的心去生活你所赐的每一天，时刻光荣天主，道圣善的生活。年初我们都心怀大志要做好，也都曾经努力过，可惜心神固然愿意，而肉体却软弱。直到年将终结，反思自己浪费了多少的主恩，多少次伤了你的圣心，蹉跎岁月。此刻我们深感惭愧，为此我们向你诚心忏悔，求你宽恕。耶稣，慈爱的圣心，你知道我们人性的软弱有限，面对诱惑、困境、考验，若果无你的圣宠左右， 實在無法跨越。我們深感認同聖保祿中途所說的，我所願意的善我不去行，而我所不願意的惡我卻去做。向善的心往往被罪惡的劣根所纏繞。主耶穌，若果離開你，我們就沒辦法生存，我們還可以投奔誰呢？如今我們滿懷依恃信賴的心仰望你，在你的至聖聖體前張開我們的心靈，向你傾訴，向你懇求。耶穌，不要讓我們離開你的視線和接觸的範圍之內，請以你聖體裏面聖心所流出來的愛和慈悲恩澤每一個來到你面前的人。此刻我們將記掛的人、相愛、相知、相識的親戚朋友、答應為他們代禱的人、身心靈患病受苦的人、面對危難臨終者，都帶到你的面前，請求你的垂顧與祝福。我們亦都懷念在這一年離世的親朋戚友，以及世界各地因天災、戰亂、暴力而喪亡的人。對於尚未安息的亡者，我們懇求主耶穌你慈悲憐憫，望你收納我們為念靈奉上的祈禱和善功，賜予他們早日安享天堂的永福。1988年3月25號聖母的信息這樣說：小孩子們，別忘記人生匆匆，就像春天的花兒，今天嬌艷燦爛，明天便凋謝枯萎。1991年5月25號聖母說：親愛的孩子們，我懇請你們好好生活，並改變你內心所有負面的情緒，化為積極的思想，好好生活。親愛的孩子們，我與你們同在，很想幫助你們每一個人生活，藉著生活見證福音的喜訊。92年的聖誕，聖母給我們的訊息這樣說：不要忘記生命並不是屬於你的，它是一件禮物，你必須藉著這份禮物將喜樂帶給別人，都將他們領導進入永生。2002年3月18號 Mariana 生日，聖母的訊息這樣說：親愛的孩子們，你們要明白，沒有我的聖子便沒有救贖，你們要知道他是你的原始，也是你的終末。聖母媽媽、大聖約室，我們希望皆同你們一起以寧靜祈禱的心去度過今年最後的一天，並幫助我們敞開心門，以信賴、盼望、愛主的心去迎接新一年的開始，立志善用光陰，珍惜生命，不再沉迷在熱鬧享樂的生活， 不再追求瞬息消逝的虚幻事物，请与我们同行，迈向新的一年，引领我们步履于和平、正义、仁爱、谦虚的圣德之路，走向基督，我们的原始，我们的终末。阿们。12月25日，圣母给我们的信息这样说：今天我把抱在怀里的圣婴耶稣带给你们，让他赐给你们平安。小孩子们，祈祷吧，让天主的平安降临于每一个人的心中，而这份平安没有人能破坏的，是天主赐给他所钟爱的人。藉着圣洗圣事，天主以一种特殊的方式去召叫你们，爱你们，故此祈求你们将成为我在世上的手，及为这世界渴望天主及平安的人作见证。多谢你们回应我的召叫。在那一天，圣母亦都给了雅各一个周年的讯息：亲爱的孩子们，今天我希望以一种特别的方式带领你们到我的圣子面前，并将你们交给他。孩子们，打开你们的心灵，让耶稣进入你们的内心，因为只有这样，你们才能体验重生，及与他一起走向救恩的道路。多谢你们的回应。请坐。今晚我哋好高兴请到Sharon Lau同我哋做一个朝圣分享。
My name is Sharon. I come from a family of three, my mother, my brother, and me. Just last summer, I visited the village of Medjugorje. It wasn't like a pilgrimage, nor was it much of a vacation. It was supposed to be a time of reflection. However, even though it was just last summer, I don't remember a lot of the events that actually occurred while I was there. Unlike the other youth, I probably felt the least spiritually connected to that place, even compared to the children younger than me, like my brother. I ask all of you to please not judge me for my opinions as well as my terrible memory. I myself probably reacted more childishly than them. Last year, in October, my mom and grandmother went to Medjugorje. When my mom came back, she was changed, enlightened even. Immediately, she asked my brother and me to join her in going again during the summer. I didn't accept the invitation, but I didn't refuse it either, hoping that my mom was just joking about the idea and that she'd forget it along the way. However, she didn't forget it. Every other month, she'd mention the trip again and again. I had my heart set on the answer no the whole time. Then I broke down in March, and reluctantly, I followed her to the airport on July 28th. The reason I gave up was the guilt I faced when my mom mentioned that she was going to be getting old and that it would be nice for her to enjoy some family time while she was still here with us. But now that I think of it, the more convincing reason why I went along with her was because I couldn't find an argument for why I shouldn't go. I couldn't come up with a single reason for why it would be better to stay at home rather than go to Medjugorje. So in the end, it was more because I couldn't refuse. On the day of the flight, my mind was nowhere close to thinking about the trip. Rather, I spent my last desperate hours telling my friends goodbye, since I couldn't talk to them for the next 10 days. It was then I found out how many of the youth there didn't really want to go. Though I kept hearing from adults that they had decided to go on their own, they were actually forced into making that choice. Some of these teenagers were only 16 or 17, and that was when the problem in Vienna occurred. Those under the age of 18 were not allowed to travel without both parents accompanying them. So, one of those children was my brother. And while I went along with all the older teenagers, the others had to stay back with some of the mothers. Of course, I was really worried, to the extent that even one of my friends didn't know what to say to comfort me. And so during that flight and during that bus ride to Medjugorje, I prayed the rosary that he would be all right and that all the other children would be all right. Thankfully, they arrived that night. The first day we arrived, the group was introduced to the outside of the church grounds. And as I walked with a few of my friends through the luminous mystery stones towards one of the statues, I felt out of place. Everyone around me were praying so intensely, while we were just strolling along, looking at these sculptures, like we were sightseeing. Even when we went to see the sculpture of Jesus, where people were lining up to touch or wipe the mysterious water on the statue, We simply stood and watched, not realizing the miracle that was before us. It is only until now that I understand my disrespect at that time and my stubbornness to open my heart. Our group had gone to Medjugorje that summer for the youth festival. Most of the activities were directed to the youths from all around the world. Yet it wasn't only the youths, but adults and elders there too. Before the first Mass, the opening ceremony was massive and full of so much joy. Never have I experienced something so grand. The music, the singing, the smiles, and the excited waving of each country's flag was all so thrilling. I thought maybe this trip wouldn't be so bad, and that maybe I could have a small glint of hope that the rest of the festival would be as exhilarating. But I was wrong. Perhaps one reason that I didn't feel the same attachment to the place, the events, and Our Lady was because I felt forced to automatically feel this spirituality. Most of the children who I stayed with had also been dragged, or in other cases, pushed away to Medjugorje. The environment might have impacted my biased view on the trip. Rather than being surrounded by a holy and peaceful group of pilgrims, I was with these restless teenagers who wanted to go home and be with their friends again. I can't complain, since I was one among them who wanted to be with friends back at home. However, the fact that it was more of our parents' decision had me build up a wall of defiance and stubbornness. Each day we went to, on average, 2 masses. Visiting churches felt to me more of sightseeing rather than a religious journey, especially with some people taking pictures instead of kneeling down to pray. I can imagine that most of the adults had come to pray, but for me, I was just a person who followed along. I felt out of place, an unfaithful pilgrim who did not belong. So to make sure I at least showed respect to each church, I would say a small prayer and repeat my petition for the souls in purgatory. The night of the flag procession, the excitement was just as grand. All the groups of pilgrims joined up with those people from the same country. Even though we joined up with a group of sane Canadians, I still felt lonely. Even though I was surrounded by so many joyous people, I was wrapped around in my own little bubble, separated from this glorious world. As it was late at night, many of the youths were tired and wanted to go back to our pension. I went back with one of my friends through the unlit fields we had traveled through to go to Apparition Hill. It was scary. There were absolutely no lights other than the little glow from her cell phone. It was only the two of us walking in the dark, and both of us were terrified that we would be lost and wouldn't know the way back. But I prayed that God would lead us back, and we followed the light and the sounds. And at that moment, I knew that if I had been alone, God would have been there to guide me and bring me back safely. I felt rest assured and comforted. The night of the Chinakalo play was filled with excitement, tension, and for me, an uneasy feeling. The drama itself was very well done, conveying the joy when Jesus was born and the great grief for the Passion. I think it was that night when there was so much lightning and thunder that I realized that God was with me. The intensity of the atmosphere and the stirring up of the weather made me think that God was really watching the drama with us. Rather than a jolt of fear as I normally would feel when hearing thunder. I felt overjoyed just thinking that he was there with us. That same night, we climbed up Cross Mountain, and I remembered the darkness that wrapped me, but I didn't have the same fearful feeling like the time I was walking through the fields during the flag procession. Instead, this time, I knew that I wasn't really alone, and that once I overcame those large steps I had to take to get to the top of the mountain, I'd reached the top of Cross Mountain, and even though we didn't climb it too high, I felt so much closer to God, to the heavens even. I was so happy, so overjoyed, that I didn't sleep at all. The whole time, I looked up at the bright stars that one would never see in the city, and it was there and then I had my normal conversations with our Father, as I normally would whenever I was extremely sad or worried. By the last day, I was convinced that I wasn't going to experience anything that would help me strengthen my faith. I had hoped that during this trip, I would find at least something that would strike at me. I even admitted it quite bluntly to one of the older and one of the younger youth when we went to walk the Stations of the Cross. Walking the Stations of the Cross was something that I had thought could calm me, and it did help me put my concerns at rest. Although one would normally feel sad and mournful while walking through the Passion of the Christ, I felt more relieved and serene. And after the Stations of the Cross, I went to the last Mass, one which was not part of the youth festival. This time, since all the other youths had gone to celebrate their last day at Medjugorje, I felt compelled to go, because this would have been my only time where I could be a little more a responsible young adult choosing to go to the Mass. Every Mass I went to, I loved to listen to the music, whether it was the children's choir or just the one vocalist. As usual, I tried to listen to the priest's homily, but without failure, my thoughts kept interrupting my concentration. I kept lecturing to myself, I haven't improved even in this weakness. Had I really learned anything on this trip? Was all this for naught? Then, in the middle of the homily, a screaming voice interrupts the priest. The high-pitched shriek startled me, and immediately I knew there was someone among the crowd who had been possessed by the devil. Even though the screaming had stopped and the Mass continued, I couldn't stop thinking of that screaming voice. I've seen a documentary in religion class similar to this case before, but I never would have imagined that I would hear such a painful sight. I felt scared that maybe one day that would happen to me. After Mass, we came across the crowd praying around a strange person who was also possessed, although I'm not sure if that was the same person or not. We stopped and started saying the Hail Mary as well. And that might have been the one real time I was truly praying with my heart. I prayed that this lost soul would be able to free itself from the devil's grasp and find its way back to God. I can still remember the fear I felt and how firm I held together my hands when I recited each Hail Mary. I think that was the time when part of my heart changed. I can't deny it. Some part of me really did grow a bit, but not as much as I had hoped it would. So I'm not saying that I don't want to go back to Medjugorje, but rather, if I do visit Medjugorje again, I'd like to experience something similar to what others have gone through before, something bigger. All in all, the trip was a good experience. Although I personally think that teenagers who are still in their rebellious stage shouldn't be forced to go, because they will not take the trip seriously. I think maybe it's a better idea if it was a youth's own decision to go, when they're more mature. If the parents have to force their children to go, there'd be a different idea in both the parents' and the child's mind of what this trip really is about. Thank you for your time. God bless.
Thank you, Sharon, for your good sharing. Please bow down.
书第三十三首，三十三首。
万福和平之后，万福慈爱之母，万福和平之后，万福慈爱之母。
Thank you for your comment.